Good morning. It is good to see everyone here. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. Romans, chapter 8, verse 11. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you, if you would, to please stand, if you're able, as I read from God's Word. Today we're looking at God gives life through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank You for the reading of Your Word. And God, we want to thank You for Your Son Jesus. We want to thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. And Father, that's the power that You have given us in our lives to live this Christian life each and every day. And now, Father, make us the bold witnesses that we should be. Lead and guide us by Your Holy Spirit. And Father, as I preach this message today, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit. And Father, speak to our hearts that we may be changed, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The source of our new life, it is the Spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, I preached this a few weeks ago that the moment you become a Christian, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes immediately to live within you. When Jesus was getting ready to ascend back into heaven after 40 days from the resurrection, He told people that there would be a great comforter that was going to be sent in His place to dwell among us, or to dwell within us. And there, I want you to be aware of this. There are so many different religions today that go about, and they'll preach, a lot of preachers preach this, and I really don't care for it, because they say you have to go through certain steps to receive what they call a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and that is so incorrect. So the truth is, the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes upon you immediately. You don't have to complete some religious Bible course. You don't have to go witness to thousands of people. You don't have to go out and do a bunch of works to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is given to the new convert, because the Holy Spirit, that is our way of living in power. You and I don't have any power or authority on our own that would allow us to make it through this life. Now, not having the Spirit, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, then you don't belong to Him. And Romans 8 and 9 says, "However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Him." Now, the Spirit of the living God does not dwell within the life of a non-Christian. You don't hear that. God cannot work in the life of somebody who is living in the world and has a darkened heart and is basically living for the devil. Now, there are people out in the world, and I'm not being judgmental by saying this, I am pointing out a fact. There are people who go to church, who proclaim to be a Christian, but they have a very darkened heart. They have misunderstood the whole point of salvation and being a Christian. There are some people who go to church, and they've attended church for so long, and the devil has warped their thought perceptions, And they automatically think, well, hey, I go to church now. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to work my way into the gates of glory. Well, I tell you this, you could do all the work and you want to do, but if you do everything and you're missing being a Christian, you're not getting into the heavenly city. There was a song we used to sing, and one verse in there said, you can't go to heaven on roller skates because you go right past those pearly gates. But it's clearly evident when people don't have the Spirit living within them. Because there's, well, I'm not even going to go there. I really don't want to cover. I want to kind of stay on this topic. So, for the believer, though, who has the Holy Spirit living inside of them, you can tell immediately. How many of you have been able to walk into a church and you meet somebody and you know right away that they are a Christian? And how do we know that people are Christians? Because the light of Jesus will shine and flow forth out of them. I remember the first Sunday I walked in here, Janine and I did, the first Sunday I was going to preach, and I'm not just exaggerating and I'm not laying out a line of hogwash, but when I walked in here, it was so nice to walk into a church that had peace in it. That was the first thing that, I don't know if I've ever said that, but the first Sunday I walked in here, I noticed the peace. Now, when I've walked into a church, I've never looked at the building or the kind of seats, or I never really paid attention to what type of people were there. What I paid attention to was the atmosphere. And I want to tell you something. This church body has the Spirit of God living in each and every one of your hearts and lives. When I got home Monday night, Janine, I tell you what, she was so ecstatic. Janine said, there were so many people at the dinner today. She said, I had such a wonderful time. And she said, what a blessing it was to be able to minister to a family in need. And that's what I take. I'm so proud. I'm very happy for the people we have in this church that have the Spirit of the Lord living inside of them, because the evidence is there. It's the things that you do. It's the way that you speak. It's the life that you live. It's the difference you make by giving yourself in love to other people. But I mean, the smile on her face Monday night as she was telling me about the funeral dinner and the different people she talked to, and she even got to see people she went to grade school with. And I was like, wow. And she was radiating with a love. Now, but like I said, when I first walked in here, there was such a peace, because the Spirit of God not only dwells within our bodies, but the Spirit of God dwells within this house of worship. I've had people come in here for funerals, and I've had people make comments to me, and they said, Brother Jim, you could just feel the Spirit in this place. But sadly, there are people who think that just because they go to church, they're going to heaven. You could stand in a garage, but it doesn't make you a car. You know that? It just doesn't. So you can go to church and you can live the good person life, but if the Spirit of Christ is not in you, the evidence will show itself. The Spirit of God dwells within you. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives within believers. Now, I want you to think about this occurrence. When Jesus came back from the dead, when He raised from the dead, it was by the power of God. Now, that is one of the most powerful occurrences to have ever happened Jesus coming and taking the form of a human being and then taking our sin upon him and dying. And on the third day, just like he said he would, he comes out of the tomb. He is in a glorified body. And he is radiating this radiance. People didn't even recognize him. But that's the power that brought Jesus out of the grave. And that's the same power that's living in you and I. Now, that's pretty special right there. You have to recognize to yourself, I am a child of God. And if this power that raised Jesus from the dead, if it's alive inside of you, then you can live and face any circumstance. You can, and that's truth. You can face death. You can face sickness. You can face financial crisis. You can face anything if you are a child of God. Because with the Holy Spirit living inside of you, the Holy Spirit gives us strength. The Holy Spirit gives us joy. The Holy Spirit gives us power. So when I go out and witness and talk to people, it's not Jim Cooper who's going. I'm going out there and I pray. I say, Father, let people see you in me and let them see the work of your Holy Spirit in my life. Because see, if I go out there on my own and try to witness to people, nobody's going to receive anything good. No good work will be done. But if I go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and I go to witness to people or I go to pray for somebody, when I do it by the power of God's Holy Spirit, there will be wonderful results that will take place. I can remember the time, and I think I probably told you this story, but I won't go through the whole thing again. But when I had that woman in the hospital who was dying of cancer and scared to death, or she was scared of dying, she told me, I don't know what to expect. And that's the first time ever in ministry that I was ever faced with something like that. I'm like, wow, what do I say to this lady? And I'd sat there in her room and I said, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I need you to help me here. I need you to give me the words to say, Heavenly Father. And then the words just started coming out. And it wasn't anything that I was thinking of here. It was coming from my heart. And after we got done talking, we prayed. And then she wanted to give me a hug. And I gave her the biggest hug. And I gave her my church card. I even gave this woman a Bible so that she could read the Bible in the hospital. But I'll tell you this, if I had gone under my own authority, we wouldn't have had the outcome that we did that day. But because the Holy Spirit of the Lord showed up in might and power, there was a greater work done, and she found peace. I want to share something with you. I was talking to David on the phone the other evening, and David delivered the news to me. David said, Brother Jim, he said, we've stopped all treatments and all cares and measures for Amy. And I, you know, it's kind of one of those moments where like it just kind of hits you. The reality really hits. It's here, it's happening. And David said, but Amy, we talked about this, and she's at peace with it. Now, I had talked to Amy before, and Amy was not really settled in her heart. She wanted to be healed. But the Lord gave her a peace. That's what I'm talking about in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can give you the abundance of peace in any situation. Now, a few weeks ago, I told you about a member of our family lost his wife a week before Christmas. And he stood up there by her casket. And he stood up there and he said, I know the Lord's going to take care of me. He wasn't standing up there going, well, here's a bunch of doom and gloom going to hit my life. That's not what his outlook was. And it just wasn't Walter speaking. It was the Holy Spirit of God speaking through him. And Walter says, I know that God's with me. And I know that God's going to take care of me. And last Saturday, we had a family get together. And Walter was there. And he still had the biggest smile on his face. And I said, Walter, how are you doing? And this is what he did. Walter's a hugger. He'll hug, and if you're not careful, he'll give you a kiss on the cheek too. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. The Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss. I don't know. I'd want some guy coming up kissing me, though. I don't know. Billy says no way. But anyway, Walter put his arms around me. And when he put his arms around me, it's like you could feel the pull of the love in his heart. And you could just see Jesus in him. And I thought, what an amazing thing this is. Now, quite a few years ago, I had a good friend. We was about maybe, I think he's 3 or 4 years younger than me. His wife passed away. And what he was going through, and it really troubled me. And I sat there that day in our house, and I got really troubled in my mind. And I started to really get upset. And I was literally crying. And Janine coming home from work. And as soon as she hit that door, man, I beelined to the front room and I put my arms around her. And I just held on to her and sobbed. And she goes, what is wrong with you? And I said, honey, if you was to die, I don't know that I could make it. And she goes, what are you talking? So I had to kind of fill her in on what was going on. And it wasn't until later when I was praying about it. I said, Lord, what would I do if my wife was ever taken from me? And the Lord said, I just want you to trust me by faith. And then I want you to walk in that faith. And so finally, a little later on, I was able to say, God, if you did take my wife from me, I would be fine because you're walking right beside me. And I remember Corrine's words. And Corrine, you remember telling me that in the hospital, don't you? We was getting ready to pray, and Corrine took me by the hand, and Milton, he was kind of out of it. He was in another realm at that time, we'll say, because the medication and surgeries and all. And Corrine took me by the hand and she said, Pastor, she said, if the Lord had to take Milton, she said, I know I'd be all right. She says, because I trust him. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the message I'm trying to convey to you this morning. That's the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, giving us power over circumstances that on our own we wouldn't be able to face. We wouldn't have the courage to walk through that door and say, wow, this is just too much. But the Holy Spirit walking with us, we can overcome anything in our lives. I want to say this, after we got done praying that morning at the hospital, now Milton hadn't moved a limb or even twitched an eye. But when we got done praying, and I said, amen. Corrine said, amen. And Milton laying there out in another realm. Milton says, amen. After we prayed, that is the Holy Spirit. Now the power. Oh, wait. Our spirit versus the flesh. Our spirit is alive to God, but our body is still subject to sin. Now, I'm just going to spend a brief moment on this point. You're a child of God. You've been transformed, and you're now walking in a newness of life. The old things are passed away. The Bible says, behold, everything's become new. Now, you're still in the physical body. You're in the flesh. And that was our Sunday school lesson 2 weeks ago. Was it last week? Sin? Yeah. Last Sunday was sin. And we talked about sin. Now, you're still going to sin because you live in the physical body, in the flesh. And there's a fight going on between the spirit and the flesh. The naked eye cannot see the spiritual forces that are fighting this battle. But I want to tell you, it's very real, and that battle goes on day in and day out without stopping. And the devil is going to fight you to make you walk in darkness, and he wants to see you fail. He doesn't want you to grow in Christ. So walking in the Spirit allows you to sow good seeds, allows you to love, and it allows you to live for the Lord and obey His commandments by living in the Spirit. And that flesh is going to creep in, but you have to die to that flesh. You have to pick up your cross, and you have to make the choice to follow Christ daily. Now, there's going to be all kinds of temptations, but you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, when I was a kid, the cartoons used to come on, and I think it was Tom and Jerry. Now Tom and Jerry was the cat and the mouse. And every time Tom the cat was about to do something mean, there'd be a little devil cat sitting on his shoulder whispering into his ear to do something mean. And then there'd be the little angel cat telling him, no, don't do that. And that's what happens in this life. The devil whispers things to you to get you to act and talk and go through this life a whole different way. And the devil twists what God's Word says to deceive you. But God gave us the Holy Spirit. And if we would be still, and if we would be quiet, if we would really get into the Word, how many of you have ever just flown through the Bible, closed the cover, set it aside, and really didn't remember what you read? If you take time and open this Word and really read it and feed on it, and then sit there and be quiet, the Holy Spirit, you can hear the Holy Spirit start to talk to you about what you've read. And even if you read something that you maybe you don't quite understand, you can ask God, and through His Holy Spirit, He will give you wisdom and knowledge and understanding of what you've read, and He will help to grow you in your spiritual walk. But sometimes we have to be quiet in order to hear the Holy Spirit speak. But when you're living in this body, I want you to remember this, you're going to sin, but as a Christian, you are not a slave to sin, because the shed blood of Jesus paid the price. It covered us, and it cleansed us, and it made us whole and free. So do you know what the Lord sees when He looks at His people? He sees somebody who's redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He doesn't look at your sinful past. He looks at the promise of the future that He wants to give to you. Now, in saying all that, you know what our job is? Our job is to listen. Our job is to absorb that and then make the decision that that's what we're going to live. You make the choice every day how you're going to live, how you're going to act, what you're going to do. I pray that every single day when you get out of bed, I pray that you choose to clothe yourself in righteousness, that you choose to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and that you want to make a difference in this world. We just sang it in the last song. They'll know we are Christians by our love, and we know that love comes from God. Now, the power of the indwelling Spirit, it gives life to our mortal bodies. The Spirit gives life and power to our physical, mortal bodies in the present. He helps us to overcome weakness. The power that lives within us. It's a power beyond our own strength, and it's to help us overcome sin and limitations. I want to say something real quick about limitations. Do you know how many of us limit God by what we think about Him? How many of you have been treated a certain way in your life, and then maybe that's how you perceive God? Anybody? I'll raise my hand and tell you yes, because of the kind of father that I had, because the kind of dad I was raised with. And so I had a distorted perception of God. I thought God was this tyrant because my father had been a tyrant. And so I looked at God in the total wrong way. And I thought my entire life was just doom and gloom. And I thought there was no hope for me. But then even after I became a Christian, God wanted me to preach, but I would limit God. And I would say, Father, you can't do that within me because I'm imperfect. I've got flaws and failures from my past. I was told I was no good. I was told I was worth nothing. And I was told that nobody wanted me in their life. I said, so why in the world do you want anything to do with me? And the Lord just spoke through His Holy Spirit. And the Lord says that I could do all things through Him if I would trust Him. And the Lord has shown me how much He's loved me. And when I got my physical brain out of the way, when I took away the limitations, I didn't think that God could take an introvert and make him a preacher. I didn't think that God could take a hateful, darkened heart and make it a loving, lighted heart. I didn't think that God was able to do any of that stuff because I looked at my own wretched past. But when I finally let it go and said, God, I need your help through your Holy Spirit. See, that's the choice you and I have to make. We have to say, I can't do this on my own, God. I don't have the power. That's what He's looking for. God is looking for the point that you and I surrender and come to Him and release everything. God, I can't do this. And I told Him, I can't preach. I can't do it on my own, but you can help me. And that's exactly what He was looking for. And the moment that I surrendered and finally let it go, and I quit limiting God, then He was able to finally move and to pour into my life what I needed to get the tasks accomplished. Now, I've watched God do many miracles. I've watched God heal people on the spot. I've watched God take people home to be with Him that were good Christians. I've watched God do many things, and there's still been times that I limited God when I had something going on in my life. Well, I don't know if God could heal me of that. This is what the doctor said. I don't know if that's even... And I'd sit there and go, what am I thinking about? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead has given me life in this mortal body. And the Lord God can still heal me. The Lord God can still do anything. But as long as we limit God, if we have limitations, God can't move within our lives. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. A growth mindset. Viewing potential through the Spirit's power, not fixed limitations. And here's what fixed limitations means. It's something predetermined, unchangeable restrictions, and it's people that look at challenges as potential failures rather than opportunities to learn and grow. I'm going to name probably one of the biggest ones that could ever hit a church. As I've heard many people over time say, our church will never grow because of the people we have, or because of the way our building looks, or because of something I've done or what we're doing. I've heard so many churches say that. They are predetermining that they'll never grow. Now, if that's the mindset of a church, if that's the outlook, you'll never grow. You won't. If you're not witnessing effectively and you keep saying, well, I let a bad word slip yesterday, so I'm not worthy enough today to go out and witness. Yeah, you are. You're covered by the blood. Just because you failed doesn't mean God's kicked you out of the family. We have His grace. So we've got to quit predetermining God. If God created this world and everything in it, don't you think that He could take care of all of your needs? Don't you think He could make something wonderful happen in your life? I've listened to people say, I was raised a certain way in a home, and I was told things, and I'll never amount to nothing. That's what I was told. Oh, that's the people I like to talk to. Because I would go to them and say, my daddy told me I'd never amount to anything, that I wasn't worth it. My daddy told me that I was no good, that people hated me, that people in my own family didn't want me around. My dad used to say that to me and my brothers and my brother and my sister. And we all went around with this. There was always chaos in our house. And I'm sure people probably looked at us and thought, oh man, whew, I hate to live in that family. But here's what I want to say out of that. My earthly dad might have been that way, but like I said, 4 months before he died, he asked for forgiveness and he was crying. And I put my arms around his neck, almost wanted to throttle him that day, because I want to say this, there was a lot of anger come up in me. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to hit him like he hit me. I wanted to tell him the hateful things that he laid on me all my life. But the Lord said, I loved you at your worst, and I never gave up on you, and I forgave you when you asked. That was the first words came to me when my dad asked for forgiveness. And all I could do was wrap my arms around my daddy's neck and say, Dad, I forgive you and I love you. And that was the best 4 months. And so you know what here's what I want to say. I choose to live by those 4 months that I had instead of the painful past before all that. And when he died, let me say this. I'm not trying to make this sound horrible, but when my father finally passed away, everybody was kind of like, wow, it's almost like, because he was that kind of man. And I found out that his daddy was physically abusive to all the kids. I'm not going to go into that story because it's not important. But here's the thing. When I got saved, all the imperfections and impossibilities that I saw in myself, God said, if you'll give me your pain and your past, I'll turn it around and make it something good, but you have to get out of the way and let me work. And that's what boy, you talk about a battle. Whoo, man. And there's sometimes I'm sure my wife's wanted to rip my hair out of my head. I'm sure a lot of you ladies might have wanted to do that to a man sometimes. Amen? They say women live longer than men. I know why now. But I watch God through His Holy Spirit do something inside of my life. He took the impossibilities and He made a purpose out of it. Look what He's done with me. He's put me in the pulpit of a wonderful church, a beautiful church family. This is a beautiful church. No, we don't have marble pillars and we don't have the nice padded pews, but that ain't the stuff that makes it happen. What we have, we have the Spirit of the living God at work in us and in this church house. And that's the path we need to stay on. So don't look at this church and say, well, because of the people we have here, we'll never grow. God couldn't do nothing with us. If you get yourself out of the way, God wants to give you life, and then God wants to use you for His purpose and for His glory. But let the Holy Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead change you from the inside out, and then you watch Him to start doing the impossible in your life. And it will be for your good and His glory.